All right, so we're still in Perikei. We saw there's nine examples of the way that the Yetzirah is going to make life a miracle, a misery, trying to get us to in these nine categories. Not possible to understand exactly what the sugar is about, but it's going to give us nine areas where the Yetzirah is going to attack a person, because you have to adapt it to your own life, and then give eights on how one deals with these specific categories of Yetzirah. So I think we've seen the first seven. I don't remember if we did a test last week. I remember we said test we would leave, Jonathan, for to this week because it's very long.
Yes, that's exactly where we ended off.
Yeah, we left off with test. Yeah, yes, was we did. That was the topic about Schavo Inish and Olam Haba. Okay. Zayin was Schavo Inish and Olam Hazeh, which also needs a Hezbo. What's Schavo Olam Hazeh? Exactly what that is. It's a discussion in the restraining. Dugma test, it's at the bottom of Chof Hay. Pidu Ayetzer, Lokashay is Yash, Ayetzer. Milafato is oitcho, la hatil sofik, pakola dvorim, sheniskar ne'il. When we go through all these nine areas where the Yetzirah will attack you, and he gives up because he sees you've beaten him on those areas. Atzlus. He's come up with some sophisticated titles here. Now he just gets you to be lazy. Interesting. That's the last one. You know, it's the highest level. And he keeps you occupied with matters of this world. You see people, that's how they live their lives. If they're not in a restaurant, they're in the clothes shop. If they're not in the clothes shop, they're traveling somewhere. They're on a cruise somewhere, or they're enjoying some other physical pleasure somewhere along the line. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those things in of themselves. Eating, drinking, getting dressed, going away, having holidays, as they're called chelik me'avodas Hashem. But these people make a career out of these things. I'm sure you all know what we're talking about. Because they are the biyodoi. Utsias lo liyois otuk tomit basogas hamozon beefshelit kayem balodoi beyafe beinecha is hamutoris ventiflus lemozon achioini phalus, sorry, shet phalus lemozon achioini. And then he'll convince you to be continually oisek in acquiring mozon that you can't live without it. So a person has to eat, so you have to put in a lot of effort to make sure that you have what to eat. And then he will make look beautiful in your eyes and all the extra stuff, which is secondary to the food you need in order to survive. Means the truth of the Yetzirah's taina is you can't live without eating. Now what? True. He'll get you working to acquire food, and then he'll show you all the beautiful extras that come with that endeavor. He'll just keep you busy and busy, getting more and more and more pleasures in this world, and you'll have no time left for Avodas Hashem. It's a simcha, it's a tanugim, the yamritz otcho, lekane besorim, ubemistayfefim svivom, ulidmois lehem ulis aneg kamoyem, ulaleches bidracheim, lidoif achre tanugim. Okay, that's the bottom line. We know exactly what that looks like. We know lots of people like that. Baruch Hashem, where our values might be slightly differently, but we know there's a Yetzirah to you. You Yab Nate Torah talking about food. You ever heard such a thing? And Ben Cleary talks about food. It happens all the time. This meat and that meat and number six meat and number 12 meat. And you go, this new meat shop that much in the heart of Gimel, there's a meat emporium. No good, you're just going to butcher anymore. As Mamash says, whatever. And you hear Ben Torah talking about food. There never was such a thing. Mashu Chadash. You have to eat, enjoy your food. No one's saying not. No one's asking for aesthetics. We're not into pictures. That's not our avoida. But they can sit in the best midrash and talk about the different kinds of meat you get. Anyway. You've been away too long, Ilya. I just needed to give you a bit of a welcome back. That's all. But so that's, I'm not talking to people who live in South Africa, Jonathan. The meat is, you're allowed to talk about meat in South Africa. It's a natural pastime. Okay. In South Africa, no one talks about meat. They just eat it. You know, you don't have to talk about it. It's just a staple diet. So it's
South Africa, it talks for itself.
No, I'm just saying it's not a luxury. In South Africa, it's like a staple diet. It's like falafel, yeah. You know, no one talks about falafel. You know? And this falafel, that falafel. Wow, you must try that falafel. Falafel's falafel, you eat it because you're hungry. You know, meat in South Africa is like that. No one makes a big deal out of meat. You just eat it. That's okay. So whatever I said before, just ignore. Okay. When the Yetzer sees that this is starting to work, he's starting to get this guy to spend a lot of time focusing on acquiring olamas there. He'll tell you, you know what? All right, Bain Kach. Listen, you're already not so Isaac in Avodas Hashem, and you're already like spending a lot of time pursuing the vanities of this world. So, strengthen yourself, tighten your belt, stretch your muscles, and give over all your koichos to serve Olam Hazeh and the people that are drowning in it. Maybe you'll be able to achieve at least some of what you're striving to achieve. You kind of right now you're dabbling, you're pursuing the pleasures of this world, but you're also you're being over to Hashem a little bit as well. But if you really want to achieve, you're gonna have to anyway. You're already weakened your avodas Hashem, so you might as well put all your kaychas into acquiring olam hazeh. Maybe you'll be able to achieve just a portion of what you want to achieve. Because we know that nobody ever achieves even half of what he wants to achieve in this world. The more a person wants to achieve, the less he has. The more he gets, the more poor he is. You don't do anything. They put all your efforts into a thing that's going to bring you to your she'ifas for Olam Hazeh. Mr. Nochem Savov was talking a few hundred, 800 years ago, 700 years ago. You think he'd be talking about right today? It seems it's not a new problem. You'll achieve all the things that people in this world look up to. And all the rulers of the world, you'll be able to get close to them, you'll be left to influence, you'll become a powerful, influential person in this world, you'll be able to fulfill all your pleasures. Scary, how much accurate this is, eh? That's exactly what he does. You just came back from America, Ellie. You saw the guy sitting in business class and first class?
Is that Rabbi?
What?
Did I see the difference? Is that Rabbi?
You see the people sitting in business class and in first class, yeah?
I didn't look that carefully, but
I'm saying you notice that there's another place that's a little bit more comfortable than the sardine can that you were sitting in. You know what I'm saying?
That is for sure.
And you would love to be there.
I would love to be, but I can't. If
Correct,
someone
but then you
offers
get
me.
off the plane and you go home and you forget about it. Yeah, there's
Yeah,
some people
but
that can't get off the plane and forget about it. I know
while
people.
I'm on the plane, it's not pleasant.
Yeah, but there's some people when they get off the plane, they can't forget about it, and they'll go make an extra effort and work hard in order that they will be able to fly in business class.
No, not
And then
me.
when they get used to business class, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just telling you, and then you'll get so used to business class that I know people that won't fly business class if they can't get a first class seat, they don't get on the plane. I know people like that.
I see at work, there's people, they fly business class only for work, and then in their personal life, they do the same. They will not fly economy. They will not. That's it. It's too low for them.
And then I'll tell you also, there are people, I haven't met people like this, but I've heard about people like this, that they won't fly first class. If they can't get a private jet or whatever, they won't go. He started in economy class, but then he saw, wow, those beds look cool in business class. So now he worked very hard to get to business class. And if business class is full, he can't sit in economy class. He sat in economy class for years. It wasn't a problem for him. But now he's sitting in business class. And then he once got bumped up to first class. He can't sit in business class anymore. If there's no first class, it's in business class. What's the problem? No, he can't anymore. He can't. It's like a guy gets a bicycle. And one day has a puncture and has to walk to work. He can't walk to work. He walked to work for 20 years. Then he got a bicycle. You can't walk to work. You know why? Because you got used to having a bicycle. You have a car, and suddenly the car's in the shop, and you can't go anywhere. You're kind of stuck at home because how are you going to go anywhere? That's what he's talking about. Now, we're not talking about a person who got used to having a car because he has a car, and then suddenly he's in the shop and he can't function. But sadder. We understand that. But the eight sort of mishachnez you to get all these things because your life will be much better. But your life's not better because before you could go to work. And now you can't go to work by walking. Before you could walk, now you can't walk. So you actually, the more you get, the more you're losing. But that's it. I mean, I'm sure, Jonathan, I know where you work or whatever. I mean, that's what the whole place is about.
100%. The
Helping people.
CEO only travels on a private jet. He will not
Only jet.
travel.
He
Be,
will
and
not
but
travel on
his
first class.
reason, is not for comfort. His reason is for time, because he doesn't have time to wait in the airports. He needs to be efficient.
First class lounge doesn't turn him on anymore. That just doesn't do it for him anymore. That's why he gets on the private jet and he has the first class lounge while he's flying. What? Oh,
No, they
anyway,
come.
you see through it. You see what unbelievable hevel it is. But in our own world, in our own small dynamic, because we're not talking to the guys from your office, we're talking to ourselves. We have to find in ourselves these areas where we are drawn after the pleasures of this world and check them out. Check them out. We have to learn how to use the world properly. I've had a person supposed to enjoy this world. No question. The premise of us isn't suggesting for one second that a person should not enjoy what you're eating and dress nicely. And if you need to go on a holiday, go on a holiday. And no one's saying not. The exact Amma Yetzirah. You know, to make you miserable and go live in a damp basement somewhere and live on onions and dry bread. There's a guy because he knows where that'll lead to as well. But this is the Yetzirah telling people to do this, and it sounds crazy. I mean, when you hear the seduction of the Yetzirah, that sounds crazy. Yes, I weaken my Yetzirah, my avodas Hashem a little bit because I get caught up with a little bit of tithe or whatever. Yes, so now dump it all. Who would fall for such a trick? It seems it's a real life problem. Strengthen yourself, tighten your belt, and give it all up. Because then maybe you'll achieve some of what you're yearning for. Some, not all. You may only get to first class. You might not get a private jet. Al ta'asuk ba'af dover ba'oila. Don't get involved in anything else. Only that which brings you your attainments in this world, the exact opposite of the Mesirus Yesharim. It's the opposite of this Yesharim. Mesirus Yesharim says when you know what your chavosa in the loyma is, in this world is, you put all your koichas into achieving that. Everything gets directed towards that goal. He's saying exactly the opposite. Well, it's the same thing, but just in the opposite direction. When you decide that you've got yearnings in this world, you put all your koichas into thinking about Olam HaZeh, you don't think about anything else. Only the things that impress people in this world and the way they conduct themselves. And you try and find favor amongst the influential people, the government people, the princes, and the Hamoin, and they're all looking up to you. They're all jealous of you. They want to be like you. Don't think about any wisdom. Don't think about any philosophical ideas. Don't think about anything esoteric. Only things you dabble with are those things that are going to give you covered in the eyes of your generation. And he'll tell us which ones we're looking at now. Only get involved in those things, become very, very fluent and very knowledgeable in those things that the great people of your generation, the ministers and the rulers and the whatever, Nagidim, Anoshim, Chashuvim, all the important people, what they look up to. Kagon, Yediyas HaSafa, languages, become an expert in languages. Nesiu Hadibur, don't know exactly what that is. Talia Dikduk, become a master of the language. That's not what people look up to today, by the way. He said in your tekufa. He's talking about in your tekufa that you find yourself living. Look what the people, I don't think anybody admires language today. Most people don't even speak. Most leaders and important people today barely have even a remote command of the language that they speak. But you know, paitanut, poetry, chidot naot, mesholi manyenim umalitzes nediros. Again, I don't know what these things are all about. These are the things that used to impress people in his day. They were a little bit more cultured than we are today. These things don't impress anybody today. You know? Who's looking up to a guy because he's got a real superb, you know, superb command of the language, or he's a wonderful poet? You're going to get too many points in the upper, you know, echelons of society. But whatever it is today, whatever they look up to today, but they have tomid b'nei adam hamadabrim b'loshen tzacha. You have to be amongst those people that use a very sophisticated language. You have to be, you know, you have to be knowledgeable. Like, you know, if you know, you have to know about wines, because when you go to the cocktail parties, people are talking about wines. So you have to be able to know about this wine and that wine and when this wine came from. You have to be knowledgeable about all the things that people are interested in. People start talking about all these interesting things. You know, they start talking about hedge funds and schmedge funds and bitcoins or whatever. And you stand there like a dumbbell because you haven't got a clue what they're talking about. No, no, you have to be able to look important and intelligent. Leave all the other stuff that takes a lot of effort and a lot of hard work. And the benefit you get from those things is very, very little. Again, it's hard to connect to the examples he's using, but the principle is you can connect to the principle. What do people look up to today? What makes you important? What makes you, you know, whatever they're out there, whatever. You know, I'm probably a bit out of touch with that reality a little bit as well, you know. And if you get tickets for the Grand Prix in Monte Carlo, you know, that's like Khoshuv, you know, that means you're a somebody, you've arrived somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, in Wimbledon, you get seats at, you know, and you're sitting there eating strawberries and whatever in Wimbledon. There's a Khoshuv, and you can talk about who hit the ball when and how he hit it and who hit it and when hit it, and there's a Khoshuv the things that, you know. So today we have slightly different Yetzer Haras to what they had in those days. Today, what he's talking about, most people don't find very impressive, you know. But that's the Yetzirah. He gets you to mamash immerse yourself and drown yourself in just trying to get covered and trying to be part of that social scene. It has nothing to do with reality whatsoever. So that's the final attempt of the Yetzirah. Aval, imiyad bas cholaloi titein the taivus ayetzidrisus regal alecho. And right in the beginning, you don't give the Yetzirah any entrance. You don't let him enter in at all. And you don't give in to start going after a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you know, he always starts off small, the Yetzer. He always starts you off with, hey, just a little of this. What's so bad with this? But I don't need all these extra things. What do I need all this extra stuff for? With the headache. I don't need all this fancy stuff. My car goes well. I won't be going any more faster if I have leather seats or I don't have leather seats in my car. You got a car, the car goes. Shalom al Yisrael. No, no, you don't understand. If you see the latest, this model, Yena model, better. Just tell him I've got six models. Car goes, must speak. I'm busy enough just trying to put food on the table, you know, the things that I really need. I'm busy enough just trying to get the stuff I need, you know, that I really do need. I haven't got time for all these extra things. And if you will, Hashem will bless you and he'll give you extra stuff. Stuff that you don't need. We spoke about it in Shara B'tochen as well. Again, practically, there's a very difficult nisoy, a very difficult avoider when you have more than what you need and how you determine what is it that you need, especially today. In those days, it was much easier because you had nothing. So whatever you had was, you know, but it seems there were people that had, you know, there were people that had more. They were more wealthy and whatever. But I'm saying most people today are just, you know, they're happy to just put in the effort. They're putting in enough work already just to, you know, just to get through the month. And most people don't finish the month. So I've got enough. And if I will have extra, I'll do whatever the Torah tells me to do with it. And if Hashem doesn't give you more than what you need, because he'll always give you what you need. But if he doesn't give you more than what you need, take what you need and not more. It's a very difficult cheshbon, this. It's not a portion of cheshbon in the world we live today where we have so much. The poorest people today are like millionaires compared to the millionaires of 100 years ago. Certainly the way we live, our houses and our homes and the size of our houses, you know, the greatest, richest Roman noblemen didn't have running water. They didn't have air conditioners. They didn't have indoor bathrooms. Their houses were about 30 square meters. Gag, you know what I'm saying? Today, the average guy, whatever he is, he's got a four-room apartment, you know, 100 square meters. What I'm just saying is that he's got a bathroom inside, running water, air conditioners. He might even have carpets on the floor. No, I'm just saying is that we live in a different kind of world. It's very, very hard to cut down and say, okay, what's hechrati and what's not? It's a very hard thing to do. If you're on your own, it's difficult enough, but you have a family, you have kids. You have, yeah, It's a lot pushed, but you don't have to do whatever the neighbors are doing. You don't have to have everything that everybody else has got. That's the first thing. What do I need? And to use it correctly, because if it's in the world, it's there for me to use it. Use correctly. Again, we're not into preachers. We're into using what we have properly. So that's what the Torah machives you to do. And if he doesn't, so you'll manage. If you'll do this right in the beginning, you won't wait until you're already like one foot out the door. Right away in the beginning, you tell the Yetzirah, listen, you know, I got this covered. I got this covered. I know what I'm doing. I don't need more. I don't need extras. If Hashem gives me extras, I'll go to the Torah and the Torah will tell me what to do with the extras. And if I don't have extras, I'll always have enough to survive. If Hashem wants me to survive, he doesn't want me to survive. No, so I won't survive. Well, you're telling that right in the beginning, as you'll break him. That's it. He won't bother you anymore. But if the Yetzer will come and tetzayet, he'll come and nudge you to yearn for extras, Tayrit Chasulam Mata Mata mi Madrega la Madrega at Shu Yoviot Chali Yedeha Avdoin Ba'ila Mazir Balamaba. And that's the Klal Godel of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara always works in steps. He always walks slowly. He never comes and says, listen, that's it. From tomorrow, no more Shabbos, no more keeping anything. Tomorrow, you're moving into, you know, to Hollywood, and you're going to be, you know, you're going to be drowning in all the pleasures of the world. No, that's not what he does. He comes slowly. A bit of this, a bit of that, a bit extra, yeah, a bit more, yeah, a bit more there. But what's his goal? His goal is total destruction. Olam hazeh en olam haba. His goal is to have you completely wiped out. That's what his goal is. That's why when he comes with little seductions, don't be fooled and only look at the little seductions. There's a chocham arayis anoylod. That's why as he starts with you, you have to put your foot down and say, Adkan, sorry. I thought just a little stop here, just if you got 1 more minute. So Moedika Pshat from Sholom Shwadron. Moedika Pshat says the Gemara that Lossid Lava, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is going to take the Yetzer out. He's going to show to the Tzadikim, and it's going to look like a big, big mountain. And the Tzadikim will cry and say, wow, how did we ever get across that mountain? And to the Rishayim, it'll look like a spider web, like a thin little spider thread, whatever. And they'll cry and say, how did we not beat that Yetzer? It's a bit of a strange Gemara. What are you comparing? I mean, why does it look like a mountain to the Tzaddikim? It looks like a thin thread to the Rishayim. When the Yetzer comes to a person, he always comes to him with a very small thing, yeah? Let's take a practical Duma. A person's trying to give up smoking, yeah? The Yetzer doesn't come to him and say, he has a packet of cigarettes, start smoking again. He never does that. He comes and he says, have one puff, two puffs. Well, what's one puff? No one died from one puff of a cigarette. What do? You have one puff, two puffs, three puffs, then eventually you're already smoking again. And the Yetzer came to you with a one puff. What was he after? What did he really want? He wanted the one puff? No, he wanted you to get back to smoking all the time. So when the Yetzer comes to you with a spider thread, what you see is a mountain, that's how you'll get across the mountain. Because you'll recognize the Yetzer is coming to me and asking me to have one cigarette. He doesn't want one cigarette. He wants me to start smoking again. I'm not going to start smoking again. Zeo Nigma, you won't have the first puff. What looks to the Rosh as a thin thread, the Tzaddik makes it into a big mountain. When the Yetzer comes to Rosh, he says to him, have another cigarette, have a puff. He says, Taki Rot, what's wrong with one puff? So he has another puff. He takes hold of that little thin thread. That's the avoider. The avoider is when the Yetzer comes straight away, put your foot down straight away. You'll deal with him later with all the other things. He's not going to leave you alone. You're not going to get rid of him very quickly. But once he's got his foot in the door and you're already 1 foot out of the door and you're already half in that world and trying to crawl your way back into this world, and that's what the Asura does, step by step, little by little, almost imperceptibly. He makes a little prick in the wall outside. What's his goal? Timu kol hashmonim. Timu kol hashmonim. What do you mean? He's just making a little hole outside. It's not so serious. There's no kedusha in the choyma. That's how the Yetzer works. A little prick in the wall. What's he after? Timu kol hashmonim. So that's this chovas lavos, what he's telling us. Put the Yetzer in his place straight away. Because the minute you let him in, you're going to have a hard time getting rid of him. Go get some sleep, Eli. You must be exhausted.
Truth is, I'm having a second wind right now, but an hour
That's
ago,
the problem. That's jet lag. That's called jet lag. Nachbon. All right.
Very nice way to end off the last one. Square.
All the best, your boy. We'll pick up. You're going to go right on this. We'll pick it up next week, please, God.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All the best.
Ciao, bye.
Cheers, Jonathan. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow, Ellie.